them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." There is a television program called Question of Sport. Has anyone seen Question of Sport? We've got some hands going up. Some children maybe had it forced on them by their parents, maybe. Not the most exciting for younger people. But on Question of Sport, there's one round that's called What Happens Next? And that's a great round. It was my favourite round when I was actually just used to watch it for what happens next, actually. And they would play a clip of some sporting event, and then they would pause it. And they would ask the panel, what happens next? And it was always something really bizarre. So maybe a seagull would fly down, or the ball would go through the net, or it'd always be something really unusual. I think it would have been interesting to do what happens next on the passage that we just read from Luke 17. If you close your Bible, open your Bible again. The person who wrote Luke, obviously clues in the name, was Luke. He was a historian. He spent much time speaking to eyewitnesses, investigating facts, so we can be confident that this is a reliable account of what actually happened. Now, it's interesting to see what does happen in this passage. And playing what happens next, I think, would be incredible. So Jesus, just look at verse 11. Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem. He was going along the border between Samaria and Galilee. More about that later. And he sees some people with a skin disease. There are 10 men, to be precise. And Jesus shouted to Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to help them. If we just have my PC on, please. Thanks, Howard. And this is what happened next, if you like. When he saw them, so this is Jesus, he said, "Go yourself, show yourselves to the priest," and they were cleansed. Now, I'd like you to imagine, actually, we paused there. Okay, so these people with this skin disease have come to Jesus, and Jesus has sent them to go to the priest, and they were cleansed. I wonder what will happen after that. So they've been healed. What will happen next? Well, before we answer that question, let's just look at some of the detail in a bit more detail. So there are 10 men, and these 10 men have leprosy. My Bible is very helpful because it has a little footnote, and it says that the Greek word which was used here is for various skin diseases, not necessarily leprosy. There's loads of different skin diseases, and we don't know exactly what skin disease it was, although it may well have been leprosy. So these men, they were ill. Do you like going to the doctors? No. Do you like it when you fall over and graze your knee and have to have a plaster? No. Do you like it when you have to visit the hospital? Do you like being sick? I mean, sometimes you might think, oh, I'm ill, I don't have to go to school, but you just feel lousy all day, don't you? And you stay in bed and you don't feel good at all. Well, these men had a bad skin disease. They were ill. What a sorry existence. Maybe they were sore all over. Maybe they were itchy. We don't know, but they were very, very poorly people. They were also outcasts. We all love to be in the loop, don't we? We all love to know what's going on. We like to be one of the crowd. We like to know what people are saying. You don't like to be the person at school that no one talks to, or the person at work who finds everything out last. Well, these 10 were outcasts. To follow the law meant they didn't associate with their friends and family, so they didn't pass the skin disease onto them. How tough must that have been on a day like today when it was a celebration? You know, someone's anniversary, maybe a birthday. How sad when all the rest of the family were meeting, but they weren't allowed to be there. They were outcasts. But they were also helpless. It wasn't that there wasn't any doctors. Luke was a doctor, but people were not cured from these skin diseases. There weren't any tablets. There wasn't a procedure that could deal with the skin conditions. And often it wasn't the skin disease that was the problem. It was the problems that came from the skin disease that would really cause all the problems to this person who was so ill. So in summary, they were ill, they were outcasts, and they were helpless. Can you imagine what that must have been like? What a terrible, terrible situation to be in. every day, just a miserable existence, but this day was different. I don't know if Jesus' reputation had gone before him, but they think Jesus could help. So in verse 13, now reading, they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." These people were so desperate, they were willing to try anything. And they spoke, they cried out to Jesus. They'd maybe heard some rumors about him. I wonder if the rumors were true, they may have said. Already in Luke, Luke has described for us how Jesus had cast a demon out. How Jesus had healed someone with high fever. How Jesus had healed many, many sicknesses. How Jesus had made a paralytic walk. How Jesus had raised the dead. How he'd helped a crippled woman. And the interesting thing about all these different accounts was how Jesus healed them. There was no occasion where, well, some occasions, but Jesus always did it differently. Sometimes he would touch them. Sometimes he would pray. Sometimes people would touch him and he didn't even know they touched him. Other times, Jesus wouldn't even be near to them. He would be in somewhere totally different and yet they were healed because of Jesus. Now, some of you this morning might have a real big problem with what I'm saying. You might say, well, really, now you've got into fairy tale. You've gone into myth because a person can't do that. If you're ill, a person can't just speak and they're well. Well, this might shock you. I agree with you. A person can't do that. But when we're dealing with Jesus, we're not dealing with any old person. We're dealing with the Son of God. That's what the Bible says, that Jesus is God himself, the God-man. He is supernatural. All of a sudden, when we realize that, then actually there are no barriers. Jesus can do anything. So what does Jesus do? When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." We've already seen this verse. And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus simply told them to go and see the priest. And can you imagine what would happen as they went? They maybe had all the rash or whatever it was on their arms, and they were saying, what's the point of going to the priest? See, the priest was the one who said they could go and see their families again. They could be integrated back into community life. As they went, they probably said, what's the point? The disease is still here. Why should we go and see the priest? But then maybe one of them noticed. Maybe it just started slowly. Maybe it happened all at once. We don't know. And he maybe just said to someone, look, I'm completely healed. And then maybe someone else said, so am I. And all 10 of them were healed from their skin disease. But now, this is the question. What happens next? What would you expect? Well, we would expect, and Jesus certainly expected it, that they should turn round, go back to Jesus, and say thank you. But what actually happened? Well, look at verses 15 and 16. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. One out of 10 returned. That's 10%. Anyone can work that out. That is a pretty poor statistic. And it's even a bigger shock to find out that this man was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans did not get on. The Jews looked down at the Samaritans. They said they were compromisers. But here, it is a Samaritan who surprises all the religious people. It is a Samaritan who goes back to Jesus and says, thank you. Isn't that interesting? The person that all the religious people would write off was the one that Jesus was pleased with. And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to them, rise and go, your faith has made you well. This man received something better. He's told something more than the other 9. Jesus said to him, your faith has made you well. This man was well spiritually as well. Now at this point, you might be thinking, this is a great story. It's great to hear about how these people were healed from their disease. But what does it all mean? I mean, I don't have a skin disease, you might be thinking this morning. This happened 2,000 years ago. Is it just a good moral? Are we supposed to just learn just to do good for people who are ill? No. The point of a story is much better than that. This story illustrates something much, much bigger. If you have a Bible, please turn back with me to verse 11, the very first verse that we read in the passage. It said this, speaking of Jesus, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled, and I've stopped the verse there. Jesus had travel plans. Jesus' travel plans were to go to Jerusalem. Why was he going to Jerusalem? Do you think Jesus had a favorite restaurant to visit? Do you think he had family there he wanted to see? Do you think he thought, I'm going on holiday, on a break, I just want a bit of time out, I'm going to go to Jerusalem? Do you think Jesus liked the scenery at Jerusalem, all the different hills? No. Jesus was going there because he knew that in Jerusalem, he was going to die. Now that just should blow our minds, because if someone told me I was going to die if I went to Manchester, my travel plans would not be going to Manchester. They would be to avoid Manchester at all costs. But Jesus knows he's going to die in Jerusalem, and so he sets off there. He makes it his purpose to get to Jerusalem. Why? Well, this story about the people with leprosy or the skin disease, it just gives us a small hint of the reason why Jesus was going to Jerusalem. Let me try and illustrate it. Here I've got this table set up, and this, I'd like you to use your imagination, is a restaurant. Now, I'm not trying to compete with the flowers, don't worry. This is a restaurant, okay? So there's a nice candle, and even we'll put a glass of water on. So this is a nice, lovely restaurant, and you know, you can come and dine here if you like. And I'm, for now, I'm going to be the waiter, okay? I might change shortly and become the customer, but at the moment, I'm the waiter. And this restaurant is representing, if you like, the way that we live. So the customer would come in, and the customer would take a seat, and the waiter would go over, and the waiter would say, would you like to choose something from the menu? So I'll be the customer for a moment. And this is us as mankind. So I'm here in the restaurant, and I've been given the menu, and you'll see on the front, this is God's menu. Okay, so this is God's way of living life in our illustration. And in this restaurant, the customer, mankind, me, or this, imagine this is you, looks at God's menu. No, I don't really fancy anything on here. No, it doesn't look too tasty, that. No, I'm not really interested in that. Have you got anything else? See, this is the problem with mankind. We don't do what God wants. What's on God's menu? What does that represent? Well, God's menu means putting him first. God's menu means living how he wants us to live. God's menu means that we center our lives on him, not on us. But the problem is, the Bible says that we're a little bit like those lepers. So remember, those lepers were ill, they were outcasts, and they were helpless. That's like us, because we don't decide to have what's on God's menu. See, what happens at the end? If we decide not to eat off what's on God's menu, and we go for our own menu, what happens at the end? So we decide, I'm going to feast on the way I want to live. I'm going to feast on all these things, doing my own thing, living how I want to. Imagine we order off that menu like we all do. What happens at the end? What happens next? Well, many of us know, especially us blokes, when you go to a restaurant, can I have the bill please, sir? And of course, it always falls on the blokes, doesn't it, to pay the bill. What's the bill? What's the cost for feasting on our own menu? For feasting on what the Bible calls sin? Well, we're like those lepers. Because of sin, we are ill. Because of sin, we are outcasts. Because of sin, we are helpless. See, the Bible says that the wage of feasting on sin, the wage of living our own way and choosing off our own menu, the wage of that, the bill for that, is death. It means for all eternity, we will be paying off what we owe to God. For robbing him of glory, for not living his way, we face eternal death. Now that is bad news. See, we're like these lepers. We're ill, outcasts from God, in a helpless situation. But what did this leper do? What did this man with his skin condition do? He went and he cried out to Jesus for help. I'd like you to imagine this restaurant scene again. But this time, it's not me sat there, it's not you sat there, it's not mankind sat there, it's Jesus sat there. Jesus came to earth and he became a man and he was tempted in all the same ways that we're tempted. It's like he was handed this menu and Jesus looked at it and he said, I'm not interested. I'm not going to choose anything from that menu. I'm only going to do what God wants. I'm only going to choose from God's menu. I'm going to feast on what is good and what is right. What is the bill, if you like, for living this way, for choosing from this menu? Well, it's eternal life. Jesus, because of the way he lived, deserved to continue in his perfect relationship with God. And now we're getting to the question that I asked earlier. Why was Jesus going to Jerusalem? Because Jesus said, he came to earth, and it was like he said, I don't want to receive what's due to me, eternal life. I want to pay their bill. They feasted on sin, but I want to pick up their tab for them. I want to take that expense. I'm willing to pay it all for them. See, we feasted on sin, but Jesus picked up the price tag, and that's why he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Jerusalem to pay the debt that we incurred for feasting on sin. When he was in Jerusalem, he was killed by wicked men. But Jesus placed the sin of the world on him. In this room this morning, there is a whole mixture of people. All of us have feasted from our own menu, not God's menu. But now the question is, what happens next? How did that leper receive forgiveness? How did that leper, how was he made well? Well, he acknowledged that he was in a terrible situation. He had a skin disease. He went to the only person that could help, Jesus. And then he was thankful for what Jesus had done for him. That's a really pretty neat summary of what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is someone who recognizes the dire situation that they're in. We recognize that we have feasted on sin. We recognize that now we are outcasts from God. We recognize we are in a helpless situation. But when we start to realize that, we are profoundly thankful for what Jesus has done. That Jesus picked up the tab. Our way of offense to God, the way that we have lived, Jesus takes that penalty on himself. When God is at work in your life, he convicts you of the wrong that you've done, but he also points you to his son. That is good news. So, what happens next? Are you going to trust Jesus, and are you going to allow him to pay your debt? Or instead, are you going to reject that? Are you going to continue feasting on sin? And are you going to pay that debt yourself? Which means being an eternal outcast from God. I pray this morning that all of us have our own personal relationship with Jesus. We've all come to him in repentance and faith and asked him to make a difference in our lives so that we can know God and we can be with him for all eternity. If you'd like to talk with me more about that and what it means to be a Christian, I'll be available after the service to give you some more details and point you to some places in the Bible that give more instruction and more help in becoming a Christian. We're going to stand to sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And after we've sung this together, we'll sit down again and we'll award the prizes to the young people.